Hello, this is Rivers Cuomo, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Jonah Ray. Dio can't make it, Neil can't make it, Cash can't make it, so you might be hearing a different kind of fidelity and a different kind of episode because Cash is sick, and so as we know, it is best to stay at work when sick. President's orders, do what you gotta do. Neil was in Mexico and came back feeling fine. All he really misses is that you can't really have beans and rice with every meal like you can out there. But I think Neil forgot that he lives in Southern California, and that is a possibility. So anyway, because we have to, you know, keep our Sklar overlords happy, which we are always happy to do. We are doing a different kind of episode. We have to have an episode. So since none of us could really get together, I thought this might be an opportunity to do kind of a vanity episode where I go through all the music that I've made throughout my life. Now, this might turn a lot of people off, but you need that content. They gotta feed the machine. So I'm, you know, doing this, the microphone I'm using is the one in the earplugs that I'm going straight into a GarageBand, and I'm sorry if it doesn't sound great, but what we're going to do is we're going to take a look back. I've been obsessed with two things my entire life, comedy and music, and from at a young age I was in bands, and one of my first bands that actually got out and started playing shows was a band called The Year Outs, which was a name that we came up with as a way to make fun of our friend Alika, where he was always talking about if you didn't show up to practice on time in his band, The Cartmans, if he gives you a time and place of this. He said, you know, if you can't make it for practice, you're out. That's it. If you can't, you know, if you can't play right, you're out. That's it. You're out. So we became a band called The Year Outs. Which was the idea was comprised of a bunch of people that even if they did a good job, they would be kicked out no matter what. The singer was named Raph, and he's really great. If you want to follow him on Instagram, he's really good at posting old kind of Hollywood stuff and lets you know when all these silent movie stars' birthdays are and stuff. He's a really one of the funniest guys, one of the craziest guys I've ever known. And then, you know, of course, other in the band was our friend Aaron Souza and Keone Jarrett and me and our friend Chuck and Donald were the backup singers because we're all fans of Avail in that way. And yeah, you know, we didn't really take ourselves too seriously, and that you can see, like, this first song, which I probably is our best song, it was called Home Alone, and it was literally about Home Alone. We recorded it in a night at Baba Tunji's studios, which was in an abandoned, what seemed like a condemned Kodak film processing building. And it really, like, there were certain floors that you couldn't go on because it reeked so bad of chemicals and stuff like that. It was real spooky. So anyway, here's a track from then. Of course, since this was 90s punk, so we started off with a sample from a movie.
Everyone in this family hates me.
Then maybe you should ask Santa for a new family.
I don't want a new family. I don't want any family. Families suck.
What do I say?
I knew Macaulay Culkin can protect himself from two robbers. I could too. That's why I feel safe whenever I see.
Okay, well, that was Home Alone. We had our friends come and do the backups, which is essentially just yelling, Home Alone. Yeah, so, you know, Raph ended up moving away, which is pretty much what happens when you have a band in Hawaii, is that you have it until someone, you know, leaves for college or just moves away or gets out of the military or something like that. And within that time, that we were always really into hardcore. So, you know, the next band I ended up playing drums in was a band with my childhood friend Donald Abel. And we had become friends with some of the other guys and bands. We had become friends with this these two guys, Jeremy and Adam, who were Marines, but don't hold that against them. And our friend, another Raph, was in that band, and our friend Josh Benton. And this one was just a kind of a thrashy, you know, straight edge hardcore band. We talked a lot about you know, animal rights and stuff like that. I was 15 at the time, and I didn't really enjoy the seriousness of it. I really liked playing crazy fast drums, but I did not like playing, like, you know, waiting for them to, you know, preach to the crowd. And now it's the thing is, it's like, I really respect that it happened, and I'm glad I was around during that time. But this band actually ended up becoming pretty popular in Hawaii. It's, you know, a lot of our friends would come out, and a lot of people ended up really having a lot of fun when we played. We were a bunch of dorky guys playing some crazy thrashy hardcore. And so, you know, we played for a while and we recorded, and then people moved away and we broke up. So this is a track from when we recorded with the band 36 Chambers, because we were into Kung Fu, and I'm not sure on the timeline here, but maybe it was before the Wu-Tang album and the 36 Chambers. What? Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, this is me playing drums in my band, my hardcore band from Hawaii, 36 Chambers. This is another thing, too. It's like, you know, I'll talk about that when we come back. So yeah, that was a band that I was playing drums in. And I remember Adam, we had two singers, Jeremy and Adam. They were both in the military, and Adam got he left the military before Jeremy did, and so we ended up replacing him with our friend Jason Gomes, who would go on to move to Seattle and start Flying Coffin. There was a if any of the listeners ever saw me on at midnight on Comedy Central, wearing a sweater that had a corgi jumping in behind it, was an inverted crucifix that was done by my friend Jason. Yeah, that was like that was a lot of fun. And of course, we broke up. People moved away. People stopped, you know, playing friends. And there was a bit of time where I wasn't sure if I was going to play any more bands. I was just done with seriousness. And then I ended up joining my friends Bobby, Aaron, Donald, and our friend Aaron, and our friend Dave Noodle was the singer for a bit, but we replaced him with Aaron Bowles, and we ended up playing, like, because we started getting into a lot of, you know, that sassy rock and roll that was happening in the late 90s, early 2000s, and this is a band that we actually ended up going on tour with the year I graduated high school, summer 2000. I ended up booking an entire tour, never really knowing how, but I was in charge of that because I was the most, gregarious and affable. It was put onto me. And so I ended up booking a pretty decent tour, I think. We ended up playing some pretty fun shows, some pretty, mostly terrible shows. But it was funny because I remember we were playing a show at a record store, Mission Street Records in San Francisco, and some guy was like dancing along to us, and he was having such a good time, and we didn't really have anywhere to stay that night. And so luckily he came up to us afterwards and was like, "You guys were great. You know, we're making pasta back at our place if you guys want to come and crash there," and which was like so welcome. And he's like, "I really like your sound. You have a mix between Drive Like Jehu and the Germs." And I was like, "Oh, that's a pretty fun, you know, add in some Zappa or, you know, something like that, some just, you know, funky stuff." But anyway, here is that band, Quarterhead, with our song, it's called Baby. So yeah, real thrashy, real fun. That was a fun band. That was the one we went on tour with, and it was a good time. And those are all the guys in that band. I'm still friends with. I still keep up with. And that's a thing that I'm kind of starting to realize. I mean, even with this podcast, is that since I was a kid, I've combined being creative with being friends with someone, and that's such an thing that I never really noticed I did. And, you know, just, you know, I have friends that I don't make stuff with, but there's something that's so satisfying about being able to make stuff with your friends. All right. So moving on, that was, I had one more band after that when I got back to Hawaii, for, a year after we did that tour, which was a band that was like the first band that I just kind of, you know, formed with people that I didn't really hang out with all the time, but they were friends of mine. They were acquaintances and they were great people. It was Brian, my friends Brian Baldwin, Dave Noodle, Mish, Tracy. It was a fun band. We wanted to just kind of be like a rock band, you know, rock punk band, because we're all listening to like Turbo Negro and Helicopters and stuff like that. And I was really, you know, really into Rocket from the Crypt. And this is the first band that I started actually writing some of the riffs to. I don't have any recordings of this, of course, but it was a fun band. We were called Das Muchachos. Originally, we were called The Muchachos, and then I said there's too many the band names. This is 2000, early 2001. I was like, too many the band names. Let's do Das Muchachos. And then someone accidentally called us the Das Muchachos, and I said we should change our name to Thetis Muchachos, but I was vetoed, rightfully so. Then I moved away. Then I moved to California. I started doing comedy. Didn't really play music, other than, you know, I auditioned for Toys That Kill, didn't get in. And then I played with this guy called Science, this guy, Jed, that used to play in FYP. He's like, "Yeah, you should play drums for my friend Science's band. We're starting a band." And it was just kind of like, you know, pop punk, like Ramonesy, Screeching Weasel, Queersy kind of pop punk, and you know, we played maybe a show or two. The songs were actually catchy, but the guy was a real weirdo. He calls himself Science. He dressed odd. He was a real, real odd cat. And then I just didn't play music for a long time until the year that the MacBook came out, the black MacBook. And then my aunt had won some lawsuit because she sued some pharmaceutical company or something like that. And then she wanted to do some, my Auntie Gail out in Hawaii, she was visiting. She's like, I want to get you and your brother computers. And so I got that, and that had GarageBand. And I just started making songs again, which was a lot of fun. It was just make kind of dumb stuff here and there. And, you know, what happened is I had started to kind of have a crush on a girl, and I wanted to make a song, not for her, but just like, you know, like, yeah, it was for her. It was me trying to woo her, I guess. We were both into zombies, and we both kind of, our conversations always hovered around the idea of like, what's your preferred weapon and where would you go? And the idea was they're going to Home Depot. She wanted a samurai sword. I wanted a sawed off bat. This is that song, which is called Meet Me at Home Depot, which is like the idea that that's where you would meet up when the zombie apocalypse starts. And this was all done with GarageBand drums and all that playing on the keyboard. So enjoy.
1, 2, 3, 4.
So yeah, and then I ended up making songs and like doing loop stuff all the time with this GarageBand. It was really, really just a great time playing with it, and it kind of awoke that stuff in me. And then I ended up that girl I made the song for, Lauren. I ended up dating her, and then she would go off to work. She worked at Disney, and I would just like stay at her place during the day. And her roommates not too happy about that, but then I would make songs, and then sometimes she would come in and sing backups to the song. So one time she was having a hard time at work, and so I made this song called "I'm Okay, You're Okay, We're Rad." And this is Lauren Christ on keyboards and backups on the song from that era.
Hey everybody, Cash here to talk to you about Audible. It's that time of year where everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts for the people you care about. Think this is old? It is. They sent it to us in December and haven't sent us a new one. Think about giving yourself the gift of Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer of 53% off your first 3 months. Access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. You can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook, and 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. Listen on any device, anywhere, anywhere with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, at the gym, or during your holiday travels. Once again, 4 months old. With Audible, you'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price when you head over to audible.com/radio, R-A-Y-D-I-O, or text radio to 500-500. That's audible.com/radio or text radio to 500-500. This week, we are talking about a book called K-Pop My Cherry, a client liaison spinoff. It is by Amelia Oliver and Kate Hastings. It is narrated by Ann Young. It's about a lady who moves to Korea because she falls in love with BTS, and I think there's a lot of fucking in it. But it's K-Pop My Cherry, a client liaison spell. You can get it with your Audible subscription that you got for just $6.95 a month from heading over to radio or texting radio, audible.com/radio or texting radio to 500-500. That's right. K-Pop My Cherry can be yours. Hit it up. Give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/radio or text radio to 500-500. That's R-A-Y-D-I-O. Enjoy.
Hey, so like, you know, we had a good time and the relationship didn't work out. And then I was upset. So, of course, I made a breakup song, which was very mean, but also just kind of about the idea that I didn't want to hear. Like, people would always be like, yeah, I ran into her. I'll be like, I don't care. Don't tell me about anything. I don't want to know. And so I made this song about that. Yeah, kind of a beat, mean song, but that bicycle thing I put on the end was essentially because she bought me a bike. I was a real scumbag. I just broke all the time. But anyway, yeah. So I didn't stop making songs, you know, for that. I started kind of just making stuff all the time. I ended up making songs as gifts for my parents. Sometimes I would make songs for friends to try and cheer them up. Here's actually a song, that I made, for my mom, for her birthday a while back.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, so I made that song for my dad. It's funny listening back. I haven't listened to that one in a while. I mean, honestly, I haven't think I'd listened to it since a little bit after I made it. Maybe like obviously not after he's passed on. It is kind of funny to hear some of those lyrics in there, and not to get too inside my own head with this stuff, but you know, it's like I say in that thing, like that he inspires me. I don't know if he ever did, but I knew that that's something that dads want to hear, and I think that's like I don't know. I think that's something that, like, you know, I wanted him to feel excited, even though, like, I felt like, you know, everything I did was kind of, as Steve Martin would say, I didn't do it for you. I did it because of you. anyway, moving on, I ended up, like, being able to, get to do, like, kind of some theme songs for guys. Again, I had so many web series, guys, from your Soupy Duxies to your CISO Cookies and whatnot. No Quibi show. You know, if I ever get a Quibi show, you know it's going to be done. That's when that thing is about to tank. But I had a show that I made with my friend Mason Steinberg, and I don't even remember the name of the web thing it was on. But it was like me interviewing my friends, and I had like Steve Agee and Harmar and Rob Hubel on and Janine Garofalo. And it was just called the Jonah Ray Barbecue. And Neil Mahoney was the editor on that, and he did a really good job, of course, as always. And so, yeah, here is the intro song I made for the Jonah Ray Barbecue. That's a little fun one. You can also hear my dog Parker barking in the background of that one. So after a stint of being broken up, Lauren and I, the person I wrote some of those songs for, the zombie song, we got back together. And then we made another song, a song that I really did enjoy, kind of about the idea of the feeling of you might be getting back together with somebody. So this is Storm of the Century with Lauren Christ on vocals and keyboard. And there essentially was a little insight into the relationship. I didn't say we had to. I just said it would be nice if it. Well, yeah, but I would have fucked it up. So why would you ask it? Blah 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 blah. Anyway, during that time too, I also got to make a theme song for a vlog I did on on Super Deluxe. And this one's a real quick one. I just really like it a lot. So here, check this one out. Okay, so yeah, moving on forward. You know, I just started making songs here and there for different things. Like if there was a Friendsmas thing where everyone had to make a gift for somebody, and I became friends with Sam Brown from The Whitest Kids You Know when I was writing on the Andy Milonakis show in New York. We kind of became buds then, and he helped me out a lot with just being a good pal when I needed one, when I was out there and I was lonely and scared and it was cold, and this was a warm thing. But I found Sam to be so funny and so nice and so great, and so I was really stoked to be able to make a dumb little song for him. And I was running real like last minute. I think we were shooting Hidden America at the time, and I was like leaving the next day, and I just had to make it and then burn it onto a CD and then make some artwork. But this is I used a sample of this terrible. It was not even a sketch from The Whitest Kids. I think it was a DVD extra of The Whitest Kids auditioning for Trevor and Zach's movie, Miss March. And so I used this thing where he's upset and he's like, he's entitled because he's a white Christian man. So this is Sam Bro WM. Right, Sam Brown is a white Christian man. Moving up to the top of the thing is Screwjiver. And with no, this is a terrible joke. Terrible time to make that joke. Right. So there was a song that I started trying to just be, you know, different with the stuff I was recording. I was doing my best to just try and spread my wings, I guess. I don't know. See, making songs for me is always, it's never really. It wasn't the end-all be-all. I wasn't trying to make a career off of it. I wasn't trying to make a living or have it be my main thing. It was just a way for me to kind of, it was my hobby. Music has always really been a hobby of mine, and this podcast included. It's just a way to kind of stay a part of something that really has meant so much to me and to contribute it to it in my own way, even if it's personal. Like a lot of these songs I never really even put out or even showed anybody. But it was nice to, it's a nice opportunity to kind of put all this stuff together. When I was living with my friend Catherine Spires, who actually was the reason that Anthony Bourdain showed up on to the second season of Hit America, I was living with her, and then she was out one night, and I was kind of bored and lonely in the apartment, so I ended up making another zombie song, and it is a zombie song about the rules. And this one was something where I was experimenting with different types of sound. This sounds like I'm serious about this stuff. I'm not. This is just all fun. But it is fun to kind of try and push yourself into different types of things, because it might open up your brain to other possibilities and other creative parts of your life. So anyway, here's No Sunner.
Yeah.
right. So my friend Allie Gertz makes great, great music. She did a, you know, a Rick and Morty. We've had her on the podcast before. She made a Rick and Morty, concept album called Sad Dance Songs. And her stuff is great. And she's got an incredible voice. And so she was doing, she put together a compilation a few years back where all the proceeds would go to an animal rescue, a dog rescue. And so she had everybody make songs. And, you know, I did a song. I'm trying to remember who else was on the compilation. I know Mark Hoppus did something. Everyone had to like make a song about a fictional dog. And so my brain, of course, went straight to Chopper from Stand By Me and Sick Ball. So I made the song while I was on the first Mystery Science Theater tour. So it was all no guitar, all just synth stuff, making the beats on my keyboard while in different hotels and backstage dressing rooms. And then I thought it could use some extra oomph. And so I had Allie do some backup vocals on it, and she really just did a great, like, she really just has an incredible voice and a good rhythm and phrasing method. So here is Chopper, Sick Balls. So, you know, I was making these things, and then I ended up becoming friends with, you know, over the years with the different musicians, through, Sean Harmar Superstar. I became friends with Devra Daly, and then just through From Around, I became friends with Cody Vodolato, who was in one of my favorite bands of all time, Blood Brothers. And of course, Denver was in, Desaparecidos, which is an amazing band. And then we ended up just kind of jamming and playing some songs. And then all of a sudden I was like in an actual band. It wasn't even funny. I was just playing drums in a band again. And, we recorded, and we really still don't know what's ever going to happen with the recording. We're proud of it. We like it. And, but you never know in this day and age. We're not really a touring band, so we're kind of not really appetizing to labels because we can't go out on the road and make money for them. We can just really only play a few shows and like put this thing out, which, you know, music doesn't really sell. But I'm going to play one of my favorite tracks from the recording we did. It was called Shredding with Pressers. It's a really exhausting song to play the drums, but here you go. We'll be right back. Okay, so yeah, that was Shredding by Pressers. Who knows where that'll end up, if anywhere at all. But I don't mind, because the making of it was the best part. Just being able to just play loud and have fun and goof off with friends is the best part about making music, is just, you know, making the songs, creating something. The performing is a whole nother thing, and it is a great thing that I really do enjoy. But yeah, so this might be the least funny episode of Jonah Radio, and that's saying a lot. So I'm going to play a song that I made with Cyrus Scaramani, who collaborated with Brett Gelman a lot. Brett Gelman, you know, who's been in everything, Fleabag and Stranger Things, and, you know, we did stuff with them on the Meltdown TV show for Comedy Central. But I needed a song, like a shitty grunge song, a la Silverchair, for an episode of the Seattle episode of Hidden America. So I went over to Cyrus's place, and we just came up with like the worst song we could. And this song is from that, the titular track from the Seattle episode of Hidden America, Breaking Through the Gray. Here's the thing. I love making dumb songs. Dumb songs, I love it. It's so much fun. And it's just a fucking complete joy. But here's Breaking Through the Gray.
Getting from outside, this weather just ain't enough for me. I wanna fly into the sky, just like Boeing. I'll get the clouds, you get the fish, if there's more to life than this. Always at the end of my day, I just wanna break through the gray.
I really haven't listened to that, I don't think, since we did the episode. It's so fucking dumb. All right. So all this kind of led to, like, you know, doing music, you know, hanging with Cody and the Pressers and stuff like that, and then just doing these Weird Al covers, just these things that I just kind of thought I'd just do for kicks, and then I really didn't ever expect to put it out. But I ended up doing that, and it's funny. I was just at a convention in Pensacola, which was a great, great convention. Pensacon was amazing, a lot of fun. You know, like I was talking with Weird Al there, and he's like, any more, like, You Can't Call Me Al shows or releases? I was like, I don't know. The whole thing was just for fun, so I didn't really plan it out or anything like that. But we always have this idea where when I do a show in town, Al's going to come onto stage dressed as a lawyer with a cease and desist. And then I convince him to, like, sing with me and turn his back on Al. And then it turns out it's Al. Blah, blah, blah. Haven't really worked the bit through, but Al said he's down if it ever kind of comes to a, kinda, like, if the timing ever works out. So that'd be a lot of fun. If you listen to this podcast, I'd imagine you checked out the You Can't Call Me Al record. It's, you know, it's available on all digital stuff and whatnot. But here's like a... No, you know what? You don't get it. Go fucking listen to it. I don't give a shit. I'm just going to play you the dumbest song I've ever made. And I will leave you with that. So thank you so much for listening to this and indulging me. I hope this wasn't too boring or trite or vain. And if it was all of those things, I don't give a shit. You got, like I said, the content machine has to keep on moving. This train is going off the rails, but not a crazy train. Not a crazy train. A depressed train, that's for sure. God. Okay, so this I'm going to leave you with my song, Baby Man. It's a quick little funky number, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening to Jonah Radio. We really do appreciate you guys sticking with the podcast, and we hope you are telling your friends about it or reminding people that it's still around, that you can subscribe to it, leave reviews, do all this stuff, post about it. Our friend Dan Angler is doing a really great job with the social media stuff. So if you could tweet about the show and whatnot, it really would be really great. And we got some cool guests coming up soon. You know, Alex Winter said he wants to come back on the show and talk about Bill and Ted. We're going to have Chris Dodge from Spaz and Trappist come on the show soon. We're going to keep on trying to make this stuff for you. And I really hope, send in your bad station IDs, send in your music, or tell your friends to send in their music. We really need that stuff because it really does. It feels good to help support bands. So, while I'm at just like saying stuff, go check out again Tony Thaxton's podcast, Bizarre Albums. It's one of my all-time favorite podcasts. If you like music podcasts, you'll love Bizarre Albums. And if you want a more serious look at music, there's also Josh Adam Myers has the 500 podcast where he's doing an episode per album on the Rolling Stone 500 Greatest Albums of All Time. He just had Perry Farrell on recently. Support your friends. Support everyone you know. Be nice to everybody. Medicare for all. Here's Baby Man.
Ooh, my baby man.